My apologies for the delay. We are starting a little late. The State Board of Education will please come to order. And Elizabeth, if you would call the roll, please.
Of course. Board Member Flores?
Here.
Board Member Goff?
Here.
Board Member Masnack?
Here.
Board Member Rankin?
Here.
Board Member Scheffel?
Here.
Board Member Schroeder?
Excused.
And Chairman Durham?
Present. Quorum is present. Let's see. Ms. Rankin, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Everybody, please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as published? Ms. Goff, is there a second? Dr. Scheffel, it's been moved and seconded that the agenda be approved as published. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Birdsall, please record a 6-2-0 vote in favor of that motion. Let me see if I can get a volunteer to make a motion on the consent agenda. If I give you the, do you have that?
It's the same as this, right?
That's it?
Yes.
Yes. Would you, Ms. Goff?
Here we go. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Read away.
Read away. I move to place the following matters on the consent agenda. 19.01, regarding disciplinary proceedings concerning an application. Charge number 2012EC2616, direct department staff to issue a notice of denial and appeal rights to the applicant pursuant to 24-4-104 CRS. 19.02, regarding disciplinary proceedings concerning an application, charge number 2013EC2195, signify acceptance and approval of the terms and conditions of the settlement agreement by directing the interim commissioner to sign the agreement. 19.03, regarding disciplinary proceedings concerning a license charge number 2014EC2245, direct department staff and the State Attorney General's office to prepare the documents necessary to request a formal hearing for the revocation of the holder's license pursuant to 22-60.5-108 CRS. 19.04, regarding disciplinary proceedings concerning an application, charge number 2015EC392, direct department staff to issue a notice of denial and appeal rights to the applicant pursuant to 24-4-104 CRS. 19.05, regarding disciplinary proceedings concerning a license charge number 2015EC910, signify acceptance and approval of the terms and conditions of the settlement agreement by directing the interim commissioner to sign the agreement. 19.06, regarding disciplinary proceedings concerning a license charge number 2015EC1222, direct department staff and the State Attorney General's office to prepare the documents necessary to request a formal hearing for the revocation of the credential holder's substitute authorization pursuant to 24-4-104 CRS. 19.07, approve 6 initial emergency authorization requests as set forth in the published agenda. 19.08, approve 1 renewal emergency authorization request as set forth in the published agenda. 20.01, approve the Charter School Institute's request on behalf of Global Village Academy, Colorado Springs, for waiver from state statutes as set forth in the published agenda. 20.02, approve the Charter School Institute's request on behalf of Global Village Academy, Fort Collins, for waiver from state statutes as set forth in the published agenda. 21.01, approve the 2015-16 tuition cost rates for facility schools as set forth in the published agenda. 21.02, approve the 2015-16 tuition rates for Rocky Mountain Deaf School as set forth in the published agenda. And 21.03, approve the appointment of Samantha Gallagher to the Special Education Fiscal Advisory Committee. This is the end of the consent agenda.
Thank you, Ms. Guff. That's a proper motion. Is there a second to that motion? Yes, Dr. Schroeder seconds the motion. That requires unanimous consent. Is there any objection to the adoption of the motion for the consent agenda? Seeing none, the consent agenda is adopted. We will now proceed to, let's see, Ms. Birdsall, your report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Chairman Durham, members of the board, and Interim Commissioner Asp. I'd like to once again give my friendly reminder to please speak clearly into your microphones. To please also remember to turn your microphones back on if you turn them off when you are not speaking. And the audio streaming of these meetings are a critical way in which we ensure the State Board meetings are open to the public. In addition, the audio recording becomes our official record of our meeting, or of the board meeting, and it is truly imperative that your constituents hear your comments and votes. I'd also like to remind everybody that CDE's wireless is now, or guest wireless is now CDE hotspot, and the password is silver, capital S. In your board packets, you have the following materials. You have the quick glance expense report and your events calendar. For item 8.01, you have a copy of the draft 2016 legislative priorities. For item 10.01, you have a memo regarding the Reading to Ensure Academic Development READ Act rules. a copy of the rules, both clean line and, both red line and clean. A crosswalk of the OLLS rule review feedback in the rules. For item 11.01, you have a copy of the School Turnaround Leaders Development Program rules, both red line and clean, and a crosswalk of OLLS rule review feedback and rule. For item 14.01, you have a copy of the waiver of statute and rule rules, both red line and clean, and a crosswalk of the statute and rule. For item 15.01, you have a copy of the high school equivalency examination program rule, again, both red line and clean, and a crosswalk of the statute and rule, as well as some written feedback that has been received regarding these rules. For item 17.01, this afternoon you will receive a PowerPoint for the Student-Centered Accountability Project. For item 18.01, this morning I have provided you with the Assessment Pilot Proposal Conceptual Overview PowerPoint, which is sitting before you on the board bench. For items 20.01 and 20.02, you have charter school waiver request materials submitted by the Charter School Institute. For item 20.03, you have the post-secondary and workforce-ready PowerPoint description PowerPoint. You have the college and career readiness state definitions and reports on college and career readiness definitions. For item 21.01, you have a copy of the tuition cost rates for facility schools fiscal year 15-16. For item 21.02, you have a copy of the tuition rates for Rocky Mountain Deaf School fiscal year 15-16. And for 22.01, you have a copy of the Public School Capital Construction Assistance Board, their legislative platform for 2015-16. For Thursday, materials you have for item 3.01 is a copy of the Education Data Advisory Committee, EDAC, 2014-15 annual report, as well as EDAC membership for the 14-15 year and 15-16. For item 4.01, you have the Data Sharing Agreements PowerPoint. You have the data sharing agreements and contracts. You have a data sharing agreement template and a signed agreement between CDE and CDAG. For item 5.01, you have a memo regarding the high school equivalency examination selection process. You have the request for application PowerPoint, the examination comparison table, and letters received regarding the high school equivalency examination selection. For item 7.01, you have the SMART Act hearing PowerPoint. For item 7.02, you have a memo regarding the Senate SB 191 update, the Educator Evaluation and Support PowerPoint, Colorado Teacher Quality Standards Handout, Colorado Principal Quality Standards Handout, a progress report on Colorado's educator evaluation and support system, the state model evaluation system, a qualitative pilot district's focus group report, and tools, guidance, and support pertaining to the use of the state model evaluation system. For item 8.01, you have the Title I Part A allocation pilot for multi-district online schools progress report PowerPoint. For item 10.01, you have the draft memorandum of understanding with teaching strategies. And for item 10.02, you have the kindergarten school readiness reporting system PowerPoint, the school readiness components within CAP4K, and a summary of the school readiness initiatives within CAP4K. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Ms. Burtzel. Any questions for Ms. Burtzel? Seeing none, thank you. Thank you very much. I will now proceed to item 7, legislative update. Commissioner Asp, would you like to proceed with this?
Yes, we would like Jennifer Mello, our legislative liaison, to come forward and provide an update, and she'll also be available for any questions around the next item on legislative priorities as well.
Ms. Mello, welcome this morning.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you. So would you like me to do the legislative update first, and then we do the legislative priorities, just to be clear?
Yes,
okay,
please.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do. So I thought what I would do, what I typically do this time of year for you all, is try to highlight, you know, what I think will happen at the Capitol. That is a challenging game often because there's a lot of unpredictability. But, you know, it's certainly fair to say that obviously the state budget and school finance will be a huge topic of conversation at the Capitol. Given our current revenue projections in the state, the current limitations on what the state can keep, in the governor's budget, he had proposed that K-12 funding, I'm going to simplify it a little bit, but essentially what his proposal is to grow by inflation and enrollment minus $50 million. Another way of saying that is to increase the negative factor by $50 million. I find that a little bit confusing. And, you know, Leanne, I know we'll probably talk with you more about that and in more detail. From my perspective and in the role I play with you all, just to highlight how big of a conversation that is going to be, and that K-12 is certainly a part of that, but they're not the totality of it, right? Because this is really a conversation about the overall state budget, the overall amount of revenue we have available, and how we choose to use that revenue. So that'll be a big one. Data privacy is another one. As you know, we have been working on proactively. It's your direction. I've been working very closely with Representative Paul Lundeen and Representative Alec Garnett in the House. They have been talking to, you know, stakeholders. I know that's a generic term. I would define stakeholders as districts, as teachers, as some of our friends in the reform community, as technology companies. They've really, I think, been doing a proactive outreach to all of those groups to kind of understand where they're coming from. And the legislators and I have spent a lot of time kind of talking through ideas, ways we could approach this. The biggest question I'm getting right now from all kinds of folks, and I would anticipate you too, is do I have a draft of a bill? No, I do not have a draft of a bill. I literally don't have one. We have given our drafter some direction. She is working on it. As soon as I have a draft, you, board, will be the first to know, and we will can use that as a template or as a specific document to have conversation around. I anticipate you will have changes to that. We will not get it right the first time. We never do. So that is coming. We will work through the legislative committee to make sure we're doing what it is you all want us to do. What I can tell you generally, kind of in terms of direction, I think we're headed is, or here's some of the key principles I would say we're incorporating. One is ensuring that vendors are not selling student data in any way, shape, or form. Ensuring vendors are protecting the data. And now, I'm not a tech person, so I can only talk about this at a very high level. But, you know, things like encryption, addressing issues like data retention and disposition, training their folks on data security and privacy issues, consequences for failure. Another way to say it might be to say all of the things that you all have directed the department to do and the department has been implementing very actively over the last really couple of years, but even more intensively over this last summer period, all of those things you're telling the Department of Ed to do, we would incorporate into this legislation to be applied on a broader scale. And then the other key part, I think, is increased transparency about what data is collected and why. Partly, for a variety of reasons, but partly because legislators were asking for it, the department has published, it's on its website, all of the data that CDE collects and the purpose for that data, so that is available. I think that's been a step in the direction of transparency in this field. That's another envelope we're pushing to increase and enhance that transparency from other entities who are involved in dealing with student data. I think to bottom line it, what I have interpreted your direction to me, and if I've interpreted it wrong, please feel free to tell me that, is to pass the strongest possible bill we can, but to pass a bill. So the strongest bill in the world that can't pass isn't going to help us. We want it really, really strong, and we want it to be able to pass. So that's what I've been, that's how I've been proceeding. I just want to pause there because I know that that's a substantive topic and a significant one. Are there any questions on that?
Questions on data privacy or comments? I would simply offer one. While we would all like to see a bill pass, there's probably nothing worse than having a bill pass that really doesn't effectively deal with the problem. I think you rarely get everything you want, but in this instance, we need to make sure we get enough so that we can, with a straight face, tell people that we've made a significant difference. We have reduced the amount of data being collected, and we've ensured that it has prohibited uses for that which is collected. So I've never been one in favor of passing a bill just to see how many trees we can kill for printing. So it's a balance, but we need to make a difference.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will work to structure something that achieves that balance for you all.
Yes, Ms. Rankin.
I also would like to add, I think this bill, and I don't know how to write it, but I'm sure you can, needs to be fluid in a way as more privacy, whatever type of privacy, comes up 6 months from now, that we stay very current. Mm-hmm. I mean, what we say today in the world of technology changes in a nanosecond. So I don't know how that's worded, but it has to include that kind of language.
Mr. Chair, Board Member Rankin, yes, we are working to incorporate that principle as well, and it's a challenge, as you note, but I would say that the legislators I'm working with and I kind of share that goal. So,
further questions?
I do have.
Yes, Ms. Goff.
Where possible, and I'm sure we will be talking about it, a little pre-thinking in composing the bill is the relationship to the timelines currently in play with contracts. If there's something comes out of legislation that impacts where we already are, and how that would impact the whether it's department contracts or we get further out into the circle here, I'd be concerned if we're stepping ahead of ourselves without thinking about all the other obligations, calendar-wise, that we have.
Mr. Chair, Board Member Goff, I duly noted. I think that's a great point.
Okay. Any further questions on this? Then we'll move on to the legislative priorities, item 8 in the agenda. Does anyone... Dr. Schroeder.
I move to approve the State Board's 2016 legislative priorities.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there commentary or question on the legislative priorities, which are printed in your folders? Ms. Maslin.
I'm not ready to vote on this. We talked about this last time that we were going to discuss, right? I'd like to discuss.
Yeah, no.
That's where, okay, great,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, please do, yeah.
Oh, I'm not that ready.
Oh. Well.
You go first.
Well, I'll make one generic comment that these are generic documents As I read it, there are a couple of things I don't necessarily personally agree with, but also the implementation of this policy falls to Dr. Scheffel and the legislative committee, Ms. Rankin and Ms. Goff, to implement it in evaluating legislation that's introduced and or requesting the introduction of legislation. And so this, while this is a very broad statement, if members of the committee you'll be meeting with Ms. Mello on a regular basis starting soon, probably very soon, that you all will be responsible for evaluating legislation against this general guideline, for example, school finance. I know that Ms. Rankin is interested in a piece of legislation that would allow a review and study of the whole School Finance Act. I think that clearly fits under that particular legislative priority. So I wouldn't view this as a set of handcuffs, but rather some guidelines to do some evaluation, and no piece of legislation completely fits in or outside of this, and I suspect you all have plenty to do. So my observation would be it's a general statement, can be referred to, but the devil will be in the detail, and we do have a committee that's responsible for the detail, and any member can attend any of those meetings and provide input. So, yes, Dr. Schroeder.
I'm struggling geographically here today.
Yeah. I'm trying not to encroach.
Yeah, I think I had a 3-shot latte, so it's dangerous. I just want to remind you to please be sure that our legislators see this once the printing is cleaned up, because the feedback that I received was that our legislators did not know that we even had legislative priorities. So I would be grateful if you find a way that it doesn't get lost in the 3,000 things they get every day. Now, I'm not sure how you can do that, but since you make connections with them anyway, perhaps that's a good way to do it.
Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair, absolutely. And that was such great feedback you provided a month ago. When we have always distributed it to all the legislators, clearly we have yet to find the way that makes them remember that they got that in that big pile of paper. So I think what we'll try to do is kind of some more than one method of distribution, so that hopefully, you know, for those who are more likely to check their email, they'll see it that way. For those who are more likely to see the piece of paper on their desk, they'll see it that way. So I really appreciate that input.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions or comments concern? I'm sorry, Ms. Masnick?
Did you want to talk about it?
I'm not ready to. I'm sorry. I would say I appreciate what you said about them being a guideline. I don't agree with everything on them, but
Ms. Rankin,
what's the process now with Jennifer and our this particular issue of data privacy? I mean, if we sit down with Ms. Mello, I wonder if we need more people at the table from CDE that are involved in data collection, in IT department. I'm just curious about that because of this particular issue. How does that work in the process?
I believe if you request from Commissioner Asp assistance of staff, I believe you'll be provided all the staff assistance here that you need to provide the technical judgments necessary.
And I would just say, if you don't mind, that we absolutely, I've already been tapping their wisdom, and I need it desperately because I know the word encryption, and I really don't know anything more about what it means. So
I've talked to them too.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I want them at our table.
We are blessed to have some really smart, great people who spend a lot of time thinking about this issue, and absolutely have been and want to continue to tap into their wisdom.
Thank you.
Yes, Dr. S.
And we would just add, Mr. Rankin, that we're happy to be service in any way on this, and we've thought a lot about these data privacy pieces and learned a lot about from the discussion here at the board meeting. So we're glad to have the opportunity to bring some of that to bear.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, Dr. Schroeder, Sheffield.
In terms of the legislative priorities, under number 7, early childhood education, I can't remember the history of this wording, but did we ever have the word voluntary in here? I mean, I think your comments are helpful, Chairman Durham, in the sense that this is not a handcuffing document, it's general guidelines. But I guess I don't want language in this early childhood portion that suggests we're supporting mandatory preschool. I mean, there's a lot of push on preschool nationally, and I didn't know if the word voluntary could be inserted. Increase voluntary opportunities for children to participate.
If there is, if you'd like to make that as an amendment to the document, if you'd like to make that motion, would you proceed?
I would.
So the motion is on item 7, early childhood education, after the word children to voluntarily participate in programs. Is there a second to that motion?
I second.
Yes. Ms. Masnick? Is there objection? First of all, is there discussion of that motion? Yes, Ms. Goff?
Yeah, thank you. Yes, Dr. Shevel, I can't remember if it might have been just prior to your joining the board, but the year that we discussed the use of the word voluntary or optional choices, it did happen. We did have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And there was one, it was prior to the time when, or right around the time that Senate Bill 212 adopted all these things, and the language in that bill covered early childhood in some regards. So we did have at least one year where voluntary or voluntary optional was included in our language. As the discussions ensued over the years, we came to where the word opportunities to participate was equal to a voluntary definition. But we did have it, you're right, and it was a good, healthy discussion. And it was as well when we decided to remove it, because the general feeling was that opportunities took care of the choice factor in the language.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion to add the word voluntary. Seeing none, is there objection? There is objection. Yes.
I wanted it read for me once more.
It just inserts the word voluntary right after the word increase.
Increase
voluntary opportunities for children.
Thank you.
Then I have one other.
All right, so let's do that. Is there objection to the adoption of that motion? Seeing none, that motion is declared adopted by a unanimous vote. Dr. Sheffield, do you have additional amendments?
I do. And then on 2D, the language is support policies to hold ed prep programs accountable for the effectiveness of their graduates. As we know, the research methodology that would make that work is very complex, because universities receive students from all over the nation, and they bring all kinds of skills with them, and their tenure during a teacher prep program is only a part of what they would bring into a classroom. So I wonder if we would entertain language like support ed prep programs to increase their effectiveness with their graduates. I mean, really, we want to support that they're more effective with their graduates, but this word accountable, of course, would have to be defined. And it's a very hard paradigm in terms of research to really track students after they've exited a teacher prep program and figure out if they're how effective they are, just like it is with teachers being effective with the achievement of their students. That's even closer to the teacher prep piece. So certainly we believe in accountability for teacher prep programs. They're heavily regulated by the state. Every 5 years the state visits teacher prep programs. They go through a pretty rigorous review, but this word accountable for the effectiveness of their graduates is almost an impossible thing to do when you look at the factors that would figure into whether or not their graduates were effective. So I would prefer language suggesting we're supporting their effectiveness, but I would object to the word accountable only because of defining it's almost impossible.
Dr. Flores.
But what about if universities do graduate and the graduates can't find jobs. So in a way, you have to hold these schools accountable in some way.
I think they are held accountable.
But what about these fly-by-night schools that train all these kids and then are not able to find jobs? So I don't think it just applies to schools that are doing their job, but what about schools that are not? So
I'm referencing not the fact that they can find jobs, but the issue of effectiveness of their graduates. So effectiveness doesn't have to do with if they're able to find a job. The implication is effectiveness for achievement with their students. And we can leave the language. I mean, I suppose it's somewhat ambiguous, you know, but it just, to me, has the wrong tone. I think we're trying to support teacher prep programs so that they can be effective and have high-quality programs. And the state needs to support that with their regulatory effort as they visit them every 5 years. The word accountable feels like the wrong focus.
Having it read support policies for effective educator preparation, period, striking the balance of the sentence. Yes. Dr. Schroeder?
That actually changes, for me, that changes the meaning. It's one thing to say that a prep program is effective, and that's unclear, but we probably have some ideas. And then there's another thing that talks about whether the graduates are effective teachers. They're two different, to me, they're two different things. And this talks about that when the teachers are not effective, are deemed to be ineffective, that there's some accountability back to the school. And so I'm struggling a little bit with changing that, because even though I don't know, I would look very carefully at something that attempts to do that. I think that is what has been the intent of educator effectiveness program. It's not just about supporting and helping teachers, but it's also giving feedback to the schools that, in fact, here's what your program might need, because so many teachers are not seen to be effective. So I'm struggling a little bit. It's general enough for us to have a really rich conversation if anything comes forward. But I don't think the intent is to talk about the 5-year evaluation that's done. The intent is to talk about what happens if we find that we have a large group of teachers who are, by some measure, deemed to be ineffective. Just a different point of view.
All right. Further discussion of the original motion to approve the legislative priorities for calendar year and legislative session 2016.
As amended.
Further discussion? Going once. All right. Is there objection to the adoption of that motion? That motion is declared adopted on a vote of 7-0. One quick question before we leave this area. Is this, we're going to have the discussion of the SMART Act presentation, or does that come later in the agenda?
It's on Thursday's agenda.
It's on Thursday's agenda. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll now proceed. We're going to proceed out of order since we're ahead of schedule.
Thank you, Jim.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Is 2D part of the amended? Striking the word accountable?
No, that was not adopted.
Okay, thank you.
There was no motion on that particular topic.
I will make the change. I'll create a clean document for you all reflecting what you just voted on, and then make sure, obviously, you have it and distribute it to the legislature as well.
Just tell all the legislators there'll be a test on the content, and I'm sure that'll spur them to pay extra close attention to it.
Can it be developed by a multi-state consortium?
Yes, I think it could. If you tell them that, they're bound to read it.
Education humor.
Yes. You do have to keep a sense of humor. Yeah, okay. Well, let's see. Why don't we try proceeding out of order, since we're a little early for public comment. Let's at least start the discussion of the item 10, which is the REED Act, Rules for the Administration of the REED Act. And no, that's, well, I don't think, is that a hear? Well, 60 minutes.
There, that's, Mr. Chair, mm-hmm. It's a timed item. What's so, I'm going
to. Okay.
But, let's see. There, I don't know why.
Well, we could take a break for 10 minutes.
Why don't we do that? And then I can check on the microphones, see why they're making a funny sound.
All right. committee will stand in recess till 10 a.m.